Devotion told me that today is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we're getting closer to the end of this series on unshakable joy. We're getting there, and this, after all these various messages, I think you're beginning to see that the reason Paul writes the letter to the Philippians and it contains so much joy is it has to do with our joy is rooted in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can have joy in all circumstances and despite what is going on around us or how we feel. Joy is about the good news of Jesus. And sometimes when we've been living in that good news for a while, we also get joy because the good news continues to be shared. And we've talked about that. In fact, that happened to me recently. I went to see Gloria Champagne. I guess it was Monday. Week's gone by fast. Gloria Champagne had a pacemaker put in. Went to see her that evening in the hospital after she was awake. And I had all these exciting things. I was going to, you know, how are you doing? And, when you go visit somebody, you want to give them some good news to cheer them up. So I was going to tell them about Beth's new baby because I was going to tell her the time I visited her before but forgot. Have you talked to Marie lately? Yes. She told me this, that, and the other. And did she tell you the good news? Yeah. Stole all my thunder, took all the good news I had. She talked to her grandma, knew about the baby. But you see, I was so excited to be able to share something that I knew that she would be excited about, right? And that's what sharing good news is, and that's how it can bring us joy. So there's a passage that, and it's not the one that we read a little earlier. There's a passage at the end of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that many of us who've been in the church while we know is the Great Commission. Does anybody know how that begins? Go therefore. Very good. And if you know, we'll stop right there. Go therefore is the title of the general conference that the church is having in May. As the Methodists from all over the world come together, its title, its theme is Go Therefore. And if you remember the rest of it, go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things that I have taught you. And then Jesus adds, I'll be with you forever until the ends of the age. So go therefore into all the nations. So that's really good because good news, we live it out, right? This good news is caught as much as it is taught. You know, we can tell somebody good news, but most of the good news people get is by what they show us. So as Methodists, that is going to be our theme. How do we go about for the next 4 years teaching and living out good news? So I love that. That's what the early church did. After Jesus ascended into heaven on that day that he gave the Great Commission, they instantly, wherever they lived, that's what they did. They lived out and they told others about Jesus, the Messiah, and the church grew very rapidly. People's lives were being transformed at a rapid rate by God through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. This happened right there around Jerusalem and even in Rome and other places where these disciples went after the day of Pentecost and began to take root in these communities and churches were formed. For about 50 years that happened, and it happened really strong in Rome. Any wonder why the Roman Catholic Church still remains, its base is there in Rome. That was kind of one of the seats of the church. Then Emperor Nero came to power, started out kind of okay, but around AD 64, he went a little crazy. Power, was it absolute power corrupts absolutely? And he decided just on a whim to just burn down the city of Rome. He found out the people, those who were still alive, did not like that. And all of a sudden he was unpopular. So he cast the blame on this upstart group of rebels in the Jewish religion called Christians. And they went into great persecution at that time. That's around AD 64 to 68. And so what happened is all these Christians, as they had been forming churches and living right there in Rome, had to leave. The few that stayed went underground, and the rest of them fled the city and went into all parts of the world, not just in Italy, but all over the world, at least their known world at the time. And they began to do what they did in Rome. They would gather people together and live out and tell people about the good news of Jesus. Even if they weren't Jewish before, people realized they had a need for someone to save them from the troubles of life and from their sin and to bring about a better world. And people responded to that. By these Christians carrying out and carrying the good news all over the world, all of a sudden, something very magical happened. People all over the world began to follow Jesus. It was no longer just a Jewish sect that became following a certain Messiah. It became its very own faith that became known as Christianity. And it spread all over. It even went to England. And there was a young preacher's son in England by the name of John Wesley, who also became a preacher. And he didn't like the way things were going, and so he decided to reform the church and ended up starting what we call now denomination. This is my genealogy of ordination. Isn't it pretty? It's my genealogy. It only goes back to John Wesley, but I'm sure if I was really good with genealogies, I could trace it all the way back to maybe the Apostle Peter. Wouldn't that be cool? Who baptized John Wesley? Who baptized him? Here's how it goes. John Wesley ordained Thomas Coke, who ordained Francis Asbury, who ordained William McKendry, who ordained James O. Andrew, who ordained John Christian Keener, who ordained Warren Adkin Candler. Now, some of you are going like, I'm starting to recognize some names. Who ordained Marvin Augustus Franklin, who ordained Joe E. Pennell, Jr., who ordained Forrest H. Teague, Jr. Because of what these people did, the faith went around the world and even came from England to America. And this is an ordination genealogy. Wouldn't you like to see your own spiritual, your own faith genealogy? It probably doesn't follow the same lines as your, exactly same lines as your own biological genealogy. This apostolic succession has its own type of faith perspective. How just grassroots the faith has spread. You see, by the 19th century, probably very early 19th century, this faith that was taught and shared locally in Jerusalem and then to some other places found its way into a little rural crossroads in eastern North Carolina called Rosewood. And there was a church full of people there that started over 100 years ago called Pine Forest, United Methodist Church. And those people had their hearts touched by Jesus, and they were sharing, and they were carrying the gospel around with them locally. And even into the 1970s and 80s, there's this little boy named Hank who was taken to that church by his family, who caught the gospel. Notice that it is caught a lot more than it's taught. They did teach me a lot, but I think I caught it. And the people of Pine Forest United Methodist Church guided that boy to discover the joy of the good news of Jesus. And eventually, I also found the joy, additional joy, of being a preacher of the gospel. Now look at me. Now, don't look at me, please. But look at where I have come and where I have been. You see, I have spent my entire adult life, a whole state away from where I grew up and where I received my faith. I've lived in 7 places in my adult life. And everywhere I went as a lay person and then as a clergy person, I tried to share the good news as best I could, and it varies. with my friends and my neighbors, the people I worked with, the people in my community. And so hopefully some of that faith continues as I move around, continues to be shared. I hope I'm being obedient to the great commission that Jesus gave to John Wesley, not just through his ordination, but more specifically through his baptism. And that John Wesley, through the line, gave to Joe Pennell, who through the line gave to me. I can't tell you who baptized me. I don't know. But I know who ordained me. I was little. I'd like to think that being faithful and obedient to that great commission, going to all the world, baptizing all the nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But am I? I'd like to think so. Hey, 7 places. I'm not even in the same state. But when I read it, sometimes I go like, all the nations? Is Jesus talking to me here? Me? All the nations? I looked it up. There's 196 nations in the world today. I've only been in one, not counting like a little trip through the Bahamas. My wife's in Italy right now. Actually, no, she's on her way back. She's somewhere between Munich and Newark. Had to go there for work, but she sent back such beautiful pictures. I said, Paula, text. I think I'll join you. I'll just become Roman Catholic and we'll live in Italy forever. She didn't tell me that you have to, like, you know, be single to be a Roman Catholic preacher. That's not going to work. But I've only lived in one nation. Am I being faithful to this call of the Great Commission? So what did I do? I looked it up. And as I found the word used there, the word for nations is ethnos. Ethnos. Same word we get ethnicity from. Same word. And it simply means, it can't mean a whole nation with national boundaries and government, but it really means any organized group of people that exist together. So it could be villages, it could be families, it could be any organized group of people. A lot more than 196, but that's okay. I began to see that Jesus was talking to all his disciples that were gathered before him. And we're gathered before him right now. So I get to share that with you. So I have plane tickets in my pocket for 100. No, I don't. No, I don't. But see, it's our job, not my job, not your job, but our job across the world, all Christians everywhere. And we do it mostly in our own backyard, right? We do it in our own backyard, and it's good. You guys are changing the lives of people. When you go to port and you serve others, when you volunteer just to teach the kids in Sunday school, and especially Vacation Bible School, and we get a lot of kids from the community who maybe don't have a church of their own and haven't really experienced the love and grace of Jesus. When we do that kind of stuff, we are carrying and sharing the good news of Jesus, and it brings joy. You've been to Vacation Bible School. Sometimes it stresses the adults out, but hey, there is joy going on, especially with the kids. There's joy. And so, sometimes we take it where we are and we move around. How many of you have lived in the same community all your life? Anybody? Wow. This is the first group at 845 had 20% of the people there had been in the same community all their life. I see 5% maybe. Roughly 5%. So you hopefully have had the opportunity, as you have moved, most of you around, to take your faith with you and share it. And that's usually how it works. But sometimes God gives certain people an itch to travel. Some people just like to travel, like, who was it that went to Fiji recently? Well, where'd they go? There you are. Tahiti, excuse me. Some people just like to travel, you know. I will go to Italy one day when college is paid for. But some people are given the itch to travel to carry the good news to places far from home, places they do not consider home, places that can be a little weird or dangerous or scary, but they know that God's calling them to go there, and we call them missionaries. And you think of all these people that the church has supported over the years financially, but missionaries don't have to go for their entire life. They can even go for shorter term missions, and we've had a lot of those. Paul was one who had the itch to travel. Three missionary journeys, lots of people changed by the gospel, lots of churches starting. Everywhere he went, there were churches popping up, you know. He was just amazing how he gathered the people together and they got on fire for God. In fact, when he uses the word nations, ethnos, he uses it to mean Gentile gatherings, Gentile people who were not already in the Jewish religion. Paul leads us now to our passage, which we read today, which is the main passage, where he shows the joy that he and the Philippian church have for a guy named Epaphroditus. That's a mouthful, Epaphroditus, who was a mutual friend of theirs and a member of the church in Philippi. If you read the whole letter and see how it goes, they sent him to Paul, because they knew that Paul was in prison. And when you're in prison back in those days, you can't get a little money and go to the canteen and get the items you need. It doesn't work that way. You don't have much of anything unless people bring it to you. They knew that he would be in need. And so they took up a collection, a donation, just like we do for the various ministries in those boxes and bins out around the church. And they took up a collection and sent it with Epaphroditus, who'd had to travel from Philippi to probably Ephesus, a good journey, dangerous journey. People didn't just jump on a jet plane and travel. Along the way, it looks like Epaphroditus actually got really sick during the journey and arrived with Paul with these things almost on his deathbed. It was a dangerous thing for him to do. It was risky. It was bold. Everybody else sitting back comfortably in the hometown. But this one had the itch. I'll do it. I'll go take care of Paul. He's been so good for everybody, and he's going to continue that ministry somehow from jail. I'll take him what he needs. And it caused him harm. And Paul said, so welcome. I'm going to send him back to you because I know your hearts are breaking, and I'm worried about your hearts breaking, and I don't want to be on account of that. He's well, and I'm going to send him back to you. So, whenever you hear the word therefore, so, it's important. So the verse that Betty Jo read, so welcome him in the Lord with great joy and show great respect for people like him. Who are people like Epaphroditus? They are people from a local faith community who go out for a period of time to serve others in the name of Christ and then return and are received with joy. That's a pretty good definition. There are Epaphroditus is here in this congregation right now. How many of you have ever been to a mission trip experience, even overnight? Now you can't, I'm not talking about just, you know, making cookies. I'm talking about you went somewhere, you interacted with people, even port and overnight. Raise them high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's a good amount. About half of the early service and about a third maybe. Of this service, you folks, whether you realize it or not, even if you just went locally in Newport News and slept overnight at port, you, my friends, are missionaries like Paul and like Epaphroditus. And I hope that somehow when you got through, we received you with joy. When the youth group goes out and they come back, we have a bit of a celebration. This year, we're going to do it in worship. Last year, we had them wait until we had a Wednesday night fellowship dinner, and they shared and we celebrated, you know, their accomplishments for the good news of Jesus. So we should do this. We should do this stuff with joy. The whole point of all this is for us to pay attention to who those people are among us as we sit comfortably and they go out to serve others in our name. See, it's vicarious. See, we can have vicarious joy because of what they do, because they are serving vicariously for us. That's the very definition, that something done in the name of someone else. And the other part of the definition is you can feel many times the same experience or the same emotion that the other's doing. So we have vicarious joy because others go and serve where we just can't always go and where we can't always serve. So I'd like to invite Garrett to help me with this. We're going to recognize and we're going to celebrate those who have gone, those of you who raised your hands. So I'd like to ask those of you who did raise your hands, I actually want you to come forward out of the choir loft and out of the congregation. I want you to come stand before us right now so we can celebrate you. Come on. That's on the steps anywhere, just so we can see you. Maybe it's more than a third. Maybe I missed some hands. So take a look at this. Take a look at these folks. The number. The generations spanned. Some of them may have taken a trip a long time ago. Some of them may have gone more recently. So we want to recognize you. We want to thank you and encourage you. No. My friends, all who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministry, into the ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. As these members of our faith community continue their work beyond these walls, we pray the blessing of God and this community upon their endeavors.
We recognize you as ambassadors of this congregation in ministry with the peoples of the world and dedicate you to service in the name of Jesus Christ. Through our prayers, we will be united with you in your work. May God richly bless your labors.
And now, as we have formally thanked you, we're going to express our thanks and we're going to cheer them with joy. Stand up. Stand up. J-O-Y. All right? Be blessed. You don't have to do the J-O-Y. You receive. Receive the joy of the congregation who has joy for your service. Give me a J.
J.
Give me a O.
O.
Give me a Y.
Y.
What's that spell?
Joy
for you. Amen. The sermon is over.